And we are back. It's the Grandstand, season 5, episode 21, Silverstone recap. I'm here with my boy P Money. What's going on, man?
What up? Another Silverstone Grand Prix, another fucking entertaining one. This track really delivers, huh?
We have a friend who we've mentioned on this podcast. His name is John Diotto, and it's one of his favorite weekends to just piss on the British. He's like, look at all this bullshit British pageantry. I think you do that, but like in a much more like calm way. He just will lean in.
Yeah. Also, I have I'm French, I'm a French citizen, and my parents are from India, so I have reasons to throw that out. So.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. French and Indian, yep.
Part of the good old Commonwealth.
Yep. And that being said, beyond all the British pageantry and Bobby Axelrod, aka Damian Lewis, singing the shittiest rendition of God Save the King.
He tried to put some soul into there. Dude, also. Ooh.
Oh man, that guy's he's like in a band now. He's like, he's going for the rock star career, and it's pretty cringe, man.
Not a good look. What is he? Homeland, right?
Homeland, yeah. and Billions.
Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers as well. Yeah, the great role for him. And
how the mighty have fallen, man.
Dude, somebody needs to it's really cringe. I just don't know how to say it otherwise. But beyond all that, Silverstone is truly a marvelous place, I think. I think it's one of the best tracks in all of motorsport.
Yeah, good work.
And yeah. It, marvelous.
Splendid.
Splendid. Great. Fantastic. All right, Tiger. I don't know where I'm going with that. But yeah, man, we had a great, great Silverstone. Really exciting. Got a bunch to get into. So going to roll that intro. Let's do it.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
Yeah. Oh man. You know who we haven't seen in a while is our boy Nico. Well, our boy. Won't go that far. Nico Rosberg.
Speak for yourself. Yeah.
Definitely my boy, though. I love guys who quit after winning once.
I haven't seen him in the paddock, but we did have Jenson Button, who we always, I think he probably just took over that contract, which I'm
he
not
must mad have. At. Yeah, they're like, no one wants to see you, Nico.
Yeah.
I love when Jenson comments, is a commentator, though. Always a good time. We had a great Silverstone.
Ooh, did we?
It truly did not disappoint. So much going on, even in qualifying. We saw some incredible, incredible action. Once again, Max, it's at this point, we don't even need to really talk about it other than to say the guy's in insane form.
Yeah, I think the word for it is he obliterated his teammate, first of all, who
obliterated.
We need to get into that. I thought you were going to mention the streak of Checo not making it to Q3 for the fifth consecutive race.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's ouch. Really the story with Red Bull right now is Max. I mean, granted, Max is on the restarts, everything. I mean, he was perfect. The way that he even got away from Lando, during some of those restarts, but we'll get into Lando in a second. Checo, however, is just, keep it brief, but man, the guy is, he's kind of nowhere.
I'll put it this way. Gasly and Albon were fired for less. I'll leave it at that.
That's a really good point.
And I love Checo. I always loved the guy since he was at Sauber coming into F1. Always thought he could do great things. I do think this car is starting to get away from him and really Max, you know, as he's racking up the wins and taking over the development of this car. And let's face it, of next year's car, it's not easy for him to drive that car anymore. And, you know, when he was winning earlier in the year, everyone was talking him up. I don't think he's become a bad driver. I just think the car really is set up and designed in such a particular way. There's a problem with the number two seat there at Red Bull.
This is constantly an issue for them, isn't it? Where, you know, Checo had a great start to the season. Don't get me, like, let's not take anything away from him. He was really strong. Obviously, Max is the reason they're in such a dominant position in the constructors, but, you know, Checo has been supported. He did a great recovery in Austria. Funny enough, like, Christian was asked, you know, is Checo's seat in danger? And obviously he's said no, but he's also said, what does Checo have to do this weekend? He's like, well, you saw what he could do in Austria. So he just has to do that again in Silverstone. Yeah. It's like to have a recovery drive like that back-to-back weekends is tough. And, you know, obviously there was some issue. There was obviously some crazy on-track issues with the weather and getting tires up to temperature, but man, it's not a good time to be Sergio Perez.
Yeah, that's all I can say. I also read that Helmut was quoted in Sky Germany saying that given Perez the good old hurry up like he was doing with Nyck de Vries. So, you know, when that starts, it's usually a few races and we get some news. So,
yeah, that's the start of you better watch out or your seat's going to be gone.
Yeah. And I will say, though, the comeback drive this time wasn't that good. He finished P6, and he's driving a car that's insanely quick. Yeah, and we see what Max can do with it. I mean, this Max is just breaking so many records. I don't even know where to start. It was his 150th race in F1. He won his 43rd Grand Prix, 5th pole in a row, 5th race win in a row this year. It's just, and Red Bull has now won the last 11 races in F1, tying a record that another great historic team owns, McLaren, who also decided to show up this weekend in a fucking big way.
Did they ever? I mean, damn. What? Where did they come from? I mean, dude, Zach Brown's hand must still be hurting from all the high fives he was giving out.
Yeah. So
he was breaking bones.
Yeah, breaking arms. Last episode, I was kind of hyping myself up for McLaren. And I remember you're like, I'll believe it when I see it. And what do we think now? Is this track specific? Because they were fast all weekend. And man, they took it to Max. I mean, the McLaren's on lap one. We could have had a McLaren 1-2 if Oscar took a little bit more risk. I'm not saying that he should have. I think he did the right thing. But they were racy, and they gave Max probably the only tough time he had all weekend at the start there.
Yeah, I mean, Max did not get as good a start as Lando, and Lando capitalized on it. I think Oscar, yeah, I agree with you. I think Oscar did what he needed to do. The guy's been driving really well. He's brought the car home every weekend, you know, hasn't binned it. And now with the updates, we see that the McLaren's got some pace, and it's not just on Saturday, it's on Sunday. I guess
rocket ship, I think Lewis described it.
Going back to your question, though, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I would like to see these updates on another track to see if and we're going to Hungary next. I want to see them on another track. That's
totally
that's what I would
like different
to see.
Track. I think you're right there because Silverstone is a very fast track, right. And we know McLaren does well, and McLaren always does well in Silverstone and in Austria, which are the last two tracks. And we've seen that Norris is on it. I'll tell you what, I said last episode that we need more Norris at the front, and this weekend really exemplified why. I mean, he's such a good guy. He races hard. I hope the updates keep on coming because I think there's one more round of updates. And actually, I don't know if you knew this, but Piastri didn't have the new front wing. So there was a 10th difference between Norris and Oscar, and it was only due to the wing. Oscar Piastri put in a fucking performance, and I've been following him. You know me, I watch the race through all the times and everything. He's been super consistent this year, and his first stint during this race was incredible. And he was super smooth, very consistent, stayed with Lando. And honestly, if it wasn't for that safety car, he would have had his first podium in F1, and it would have been much deserved. I know we make a lot of claims here, but Oscar Piastri, future world champion, it's happening.
Whoa, claimy Lee Curtis in the house.
And also, Lando and Oscar in the same team, fighting at the front, could get spicy whenever that happens.
From qualifying on Saturday to the race on Sunday, if I were at McLaren, I would be like, I would just be elated, because you realistically, like, considering where they were, you wouldn't blame people at McLaren for not having hope, right? But they got through it. They persevered. They brought updates. I'm really excited to see what McLaren can do, because I think even Red Bull, you know, obviously I don't think they're that concerned about, you know, the championship, but I think right now they look like the team who has a lot of potential to potentially challenge them for race wins.
You know what?
That's a claim right there, but I'll stand by it.
That's a claim, and I don't disagree with you. Remember where McLaren was in Bahrain first round?
Oh boy.
Piastri DNF'd, and Lando Norris finished P17. And in Silverstone, when they finally, where they almost have their 23 spec car, you know, showing up a little late to the party, I guess, but better late than never, P2 and P4. So incredible. Also, I do think that the championship is just super tight behind Red Bull. But I am a little disappointed with Ferrari, Mercedes, and Aston for not being more consistent behind them, because this is just making it so much easier for Max to just run away and get that third title.
Yeah, no, you're not
way too easily.
You're not wrong. And I think before we get to those guys, I do want to, you know, I think shout out to Williams as well.
Yes.
Who had another great weekend. I think Logan Sargeant, a little bit disappointing because, you know, he won on this track last year in F2. Regardless, I think Williams should be super encouraged with what they're doing, because they have leapfrogged from basically the bottom to a serious midfield contender. I don't know, maybe not serious, but
I mean, Albon was dicing with Carlos Sainz in the end on pure pace. You want to know Albon's results in the free practice for this weekend?
Let's hear it.
Third, second.
Damn.
Brought it to Q3 again, got some points once again, and it wasn't, you know, one of those defensive drives. He was looking pretty racy at the end there. So yeah, let's just take a minute and say Williams with James Vowles really putting in some good work, and I think a lot more points and exciting times are coming up for that team, and I'm really happy for them, because I was a bit worried for Williams a few years ago. So it's just another one of those wholesome moments. And let's not forget that McLaren showed up on the weekend also, where they brought back the chrome livery, which
we need
to give a little credit to Zach and the marketing team there, because that was
the marketing. Yeah. not only did they pair it with, you know, they had Google Chrome as a sponsor, but
yeah. Lando was repping that.
Yeah, dude.
A little too much.
A little too much. Like, it looks like he was wearing a Google Chrome yarmulke, quite frankly. On
the top of his oversized helmet. Google Chrome yarmulke.
Yeah, one size too big. But the helmet was sick. Other than that, the car I thought looked epic. Like, I think that's the livery of the season so far.
Oh, 100%.
It was just a lights out weekend for McLaren. Like, that team's, you got to be buzzing if you're at the MTC right now.
Yeah.
Which is the McLaren Technology Center. We use acronyms on this show.
That's right.
But they've got to be incredibly encouraged. I think a team that probably should also be pretty worried as Mercedes, even though Lewis finished on the podium. That was had the safety car not happened, Mercedes would not have been on the podium. They they definitely lucked out in that situation and benefited from it. Lewis did a great job, you know, getting himself into that position, and I think drove pretty well. They took a gamble to go on the softs at the end and couldn't end up catching. They didn't end up catching Lando. Those tires just degraded too quickly because of the pace Lewis had.
But they gave us a really good battle. Lando versus Lewis, Lando on hard tires, and everyone was, on our group thread, everyone was freaking out about why McLaren went on the hard tires. But it turned out in the end that when you have a 14 lap sprint in the end, you know, you're going to hit those softs pretty hard. No pun intended there. And they're going to degrade quickly, just like they did on Max's mighty Red Bull. All the soft tire runners were really hurting. So I think Lewis only had a window of a lap to pass Lando if he was to make it stick. And Lando really put some great defensive moves. And man, if you're a McLaren fan this weekend, well, I'm glad you had a good time because a lot of other teams did.
No. The exception of maybe Max in McLaren. If you're Merck, you got to be a little worried. If you're Ferrari,
just one thing on Merck, I want to say P3, P5, they had better pace than their qualifying pace. But I think it's about time we bring up a point. I know you're a big Mercedes fan. I'm always very interested on how, you know, F1 dynasties end, right? And I think it's time. I'm going to put it on the table. I think that we can no longer consider Merck a top team with the way they've been developing this car in the last 2 years, be it through misdirection, stubbornness, whatever they say, they just end up always going back and forth and they're never really making huge steps forward. I'm wondering if they haven't just missed this cycle completely.
I'm going to disagree with you completely on that point. But I think Merck is undoubtedly still one of the top teams. I think they're just having an off season. They're having an off, they've had just, last season wasn't great either, but they're still up there. I think Red Bull just got these new regs on the nose, and that happens.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, Mercedes is still a top team, but if I were a Merck fan, I would not be optimistic about winning a title in the next 3 to 4 years. That's how I see it there. I think the other teams are closer to challenging up front than Mercedes, but I could be completely wrong.
That's fine. That you're entitled to your opinion.
But you're wrong.
I can see why you would say that. I just don't think I agree with. I think Mercedes, they're not a Ferrari who, when they go through these moments, they're on suicide watch. But
don't get me started. I was maybe trying to stay away from the Ferrari chat for a minute by focusing on Merck.
We're getting into Ferrari because
fine.
There's a style of management that is very different and legacy that's different between the two teams. And we're witnessing that now. And if you're a Ferrari fan, I think the comments on the Scuderia Ferrari Instagram from fans say it all. Then there's,
I would disable comments on that account.
Definitely a good idea. I would second that. There was one comment I think someone sent.
It was Diato.
I think it was Diato who sent it. I got to read this. From @Marco_Bells says, in one weekend alone, McLaren have managed to make 10 times the amount of progress than Ferrari has in God knows how many years. No Tifosi should fall for your bullshit excuses anymore about how these things take time. You should all be ashamed. The lack of concordance between the engineers and signs on the radio today about strategy clearly exemplifies the cluelessness and disorganization amongst your ranks. Sort yourselves out, you useless clowns. If a Claire leaves next year, you have no one but yourselves to blame. Wow.
That is savage.
It's savage.
Some elements of truth in there, but I would like to say, just like you pointed out earlier, let's wait to see what McLaren does in Budapest, because I don't know if you remember a little race called Monza 2021, where they finished 1-2. Took them a very long time to get back to the front. So those things do take time, but also I do get where you're coming from because I have those thoughts every single day. We need an overhaul at Ferrari. It's like, you know, I feel like if you're having a brainstorming session where you're writing a script and people are just throwing out shitty ideas, at some point, if the ideas keep are just shitty all the time, you need to fire all the writers, right? So,
so
that's kind of how like I feel should happen at Maranello. Also, we need to, you know, there was some politics with Binotto. There's a lot of people that are still, let's say, on his side and they feel hard done by. John Elkann, I think, you know, we need to get rid of the people that are not on the same page and start over. And we need to poach, man. I'd be knocking at Red Bull's door for Aston Martin, Merck, trying to steal as many people as you can. Man, I wish James Vowles would have come to Ferrari. He would have been perfect. But hey.
Hey, I mean, listen, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. We'll see what happens with Fred. And if Fred goes, who knows, man? I've crazier shit has happened.
Yeah, well, that's where I stand on Ferrari. P9, P10, they had good pace in qualifying, which gave me hope, as usual, for maybe a podium. And also got kind of screwed by the safety car and timing, but their strategy was also not on point. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I do think that holding on to Leclerc is going to be very important because at this rate, both of these drivers might be tempted to start, you know, having chats in the paddock, see what's going on in the next few years.
Ooh, little Lewis to Ferrari kind of gossip.
Ooh, maybe, or some might say, you know, Lewis was really talking about McLaren, the chrome livery. Maybe he said it's his family where he started. Maybe he wants to end there.
Just a little swap for Oscar.
Ooh, Oscar and George in the same team. Wow. Did you see how pissed George was when he realized that Lewis had stayed out? And he was like, where's Lewis? Oh, fuck. I was like, yep. He outraced you again, my friend.
Well, speaking of getting outraced, another team that I think needs to be a little concerned with their weekend was Aston Martin, who, you know, according to Al Plan, with Fernando, he was like, we're going to challenge for podiums every weekend. And kind of ever since he said that, that hasn't been the case.
The Fernando curse.
Maybe just shut the fuck up and race sometimes.
Home track. They said they wouldn't do well on the fast track. So they were prepared, but I was disappointed to see how far they had fallen. Also, is this part of the whole ebb and flow with updates, or are they struggling? I don't know. I think it could be a different story in Hungary because it's a much tighter, twistier track.
Yep.
So, as you said, McLaren could be in a very tough spot there, and Aston and Ferrari might be back, and Merck might just be in the middle or at the front. Who knows? But that's what is a bit frustrating. We need these teams to all go the same direction and all take it a Red Bull, but I don't think that's happening.
No, I think Aston, I mean, Stroll was kind of driving like a jackass this weekend.
Oh, please. Okay, we need to talk about Stroll.
Yeah, because he just, I don't know what was going on with Lance this weekend, but he just, I bet he got a talking to from Daddy Lawrence.
Yeah, boss dad. Mm-hmm. He definitely got a talking to from the stewards. He was battling with Gasly, just not getting any luck this year.
Nope.
They were battling. He tried to pass Gasly on the outside. I think it was rough but fair. He got a track limits warning for that, black and white flag. And then he basically dive bombed Gasly and went off track and joined the track again, completely hit Gasly, broke his suspension. And he got away with that? Like, I'm shocked. Gasly looked like he was about to cry in the post-race interviews. Like, man, he needs a good result, please.
He really does. Yeah. I mean, speaking about Gasly and Alpine, I mean, a double DNF and for Alpine this weekend, and they're only 12 points behind McLaren now. I mean, huge points haul for McLaren at 30, but Alpine.
Yeah, McLaren just shot past Alpine this weekend with scoring 30 points, right?
Huge. Yeah. So you got to think, I mean, when Gasly retired, it was like, oh, man. Laurent Rossi is going to be throwing baguettes and croissants everywhere on Monday.
And fine red wines.
Fine red wines.
Yeah.
Just what can you say? I mean, you're a resident Frenchman, so.
I mean, I feel bad for the team because we just explained Gasly should have scored points, and it wasn't his fault that he got, you know,
no
fucking hit by Silver Spoon Stroll. And Ocon, he retired on a hydraulic leak, and apparently it was a part failure that was not even made by Alpine. It was one of the suppliers. So they were quick to point out that this weekend wasn't Alpine's fault, which it's true, but still not a good look. So hopefully put that behind you. But that's, you know, it's like another one of those weekends where they're not racking up points. And this is a team that was aiming for P3, mind you, at the beginning of the year. And that's before they knew that Aston Martin had built a fucking amazing car. And now that McLaren is coming back. So it looks like we're going to have a good fight for P5 till the end of the season, hopefully.
Dude, I mean, it looks, this is a battle. I mean, I think McLaren, based on what we saw, if they move forward in Hungary and put in a similar result, I think P5 is going to be looking more like a lock for McLaren.
Yeah, it could be. Or if McLaren slides back because they suck on slow tracks, maybe Alpine can pick up some points. I don't know. It's becoming a classic, though, McLaren versus Alpine. You know, no love lost between those two, especially with the whole saga.
Yeah, and frankly, in the midfield in general, I mean, you know, the gap between P1 and P4, you know, we've got Red Bull who have fully jumped ahead. But on track, I mean, the points don't really tell you the story because on track, that P2 through like I would even say P8 position for constructors has been really exciting to watch between those teams.
Yeah, we've got a good battle for P2, I'd say, Mercedes, Aston, Ferrari. Then now we have this McLaren Alpine, and Williams versus Haas should be fun. And then unfortunately, maybe Alfa Romeo if they pick up. And then unfortunately, we just got Alfa Tauri on its own there in the end. But
yeah.
Also, quick note, Max leads the Constructors' Championship on his own. So even if Checo, they decided to just fire Checo and not race the second car, they'd be fine.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah. He's got 255 points to Merck's 203. Jeez.
Yo, the kid is on fire right now.
He really is. It's hard to get a bet against him.
You know, you mentioned Nico Rosberg. There is an interesting stat this weekend is that Max has won a sixth consecutive race in F1, and only a few drivers have done this in the past. And can you guess who? Four.
There's only been four.
I gave you a big hint for one of them.
I'm going to say Nigel Mansell.
Nope. So
okay, you just tell me. I'm not going to guess these.
Nico Rosberg. That's what.
That's one. Okay.
The hints I gave you.
I'm not going to give him any credit for anything.
He just don't say his name. Vettel did it as well. Okay. Schumacher and Ascari as well. So Lewis Hamilton has not done this either. Yeah, surprising. When you look at the number of wins that Lewis was scoring in his like dominating seasons, they're lower compared to what Max is doing these years. Which is not good for those stats.
If you're a Lewis fan, I know he is on track to break them at this pace.
I also read this. If he wins every race till the end of the year, Max, which let's face it, he could jump into number three all time of number of wins in F1. So that would just leave Schumi and Lewis ahead of him. So that's wild.
I think it needs to be discussed. You know, there's obviously been a lot of news around De Vries this week. And I mean, AlphaTauri just look like they're lost on an island. And Haas, another terrible weekend for them.
Once again, where's the pace in the race? And also engine failures. A bad look for Ferrari. Yep. Magnussen with losing two engines this weekend. That's not good.
Yeah. No.
A little worried about that.
Really, really not good. And, you know, and I think another team that just kind of seems to be just there is Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, both Alphas are just,
Nothing very, I mean, other than Valtteri, you know, doing Valtteri shit, they're just kind of a boring unit to watch right now.
Yeah, because they're not really giving them a good car. I think Valtteri got disqualified in qualifying for not having enough fuel in the car, which was that's a shame. But yeah, what did Valtteri do? They did P12 and P14. They're at the top of the back end. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, which I don't know. It's just not super exciting for them. And you know, I think you had a question. You know, have they already given up on this season and are looking to next year?
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on with Alfa Romeo, because you know they've been bought and they will become in 2026 Audi. I wonder how much money and development they'll have in the next 2 years. I hope they don't just wait patiently. I actually hope the opposite will happen, is that, you know, that money and that technical knowledge will come in to develop the cars in the next 2 years to get ready for that, let's say, debut for Audi. So yeah, right now there's not much to report, but they definitely need some updates, because I think that car hasn't really moved all year. And one more thing I wanted to say, going back to Williams, Albon scored points in P8, but we need to give it up for Logan Sargeant, who was really close to him all weekend long. He finished P11. So good showing for Williams on their 800th Grand Prix. So
yeah,
another milestone for
them.
Big ups. Yeah. Logan Sargeant is starting to look like a driver that belongs in F1.
Yeah. No. And I, you know what? I think his radio too, you know, he's, I think, very mature on the radio. He's not like Yuki just sounding off saying fuck every other word. But I do like his demeanor. He's calm. He's, you know, keeps things very cool. Doesn't panic. And I think that's gonna go a long way this year. And I think the team recognizes that. Having Alex doing what he's doing as well is gonna be good motivation for him to say, I know I can do this. Let's just get it done, right?
And Albon's on fire. I mean, if I'm a top team, even if I'm a Ferrari, you know, leader, I'm keeping an eye on Albon.
Oh yeah. I don't see him at Ferrari. I don't think that suits him whatsoever, but
I think Williams suits him really well. I would love to see him take Williams back to the front.
I agree with you. I think Williams is a great fit for him right now, and I think he's having a good time driving. You can almost feel the happiness seeing the car put in some decent performances.
Yeah. And I think he gels well with, you know, James Vowles and everything, and they're all in this, you know, they've all been there for a similar amount of time. He's over the whole Red Bull spell. If I had one tip to give him, is like, don't go back to Red Bull.
I second that. Do not do it. Don't be allured, you know, by what they got, you know.
Yeah. We swear we'll change. They're like a fucking bad ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Like, you know,
Helmut Marko's milkshake does not bring all the boys to the yard. One thing, before we close out,
I was gonna comment on that, but I was like, no, I don't want this to be clipped later.
Oh, it's still gonna be a clip. Don't worry. One thing I do want to comment on before we wrap the episode is there was an incident on track. This always seems to happen every season, at least once.
A few times.
There's an incident with Cara Delevingne, the actress and model, and Martin Brundle, and she basically snubbed Martin for a conversation. And I once again just have to say, if you're going to be on the grid and know who people are, I mean, it's one thing if it was like a no-name journalist, but it's like, this is a former F1 driver respected by so many people in the paddock. And to just like even say hello and how are you is enough. And there were some comments that came out afterwards. Everyone has their opinion on this, as I do. But I cannot get behind these celebrities who are on the grid and act like this. I mean, there was a Megan Thee Stallion thing that happened, I think, either last year or the year before.
Serena Williams.
And, you know, it almost feels like there should be some sort of, like, education before you do a grid walk as a celebrity. And I know that you're not obligated. I know that you're not obligated to give an interview. That's totally fine. But it also feels kind of disrespectful to the fans who are watching at home for you to be that much of like a pretentious cunt about it.
Ooh, the C word.
Yeah,
not from Yuki, sorry, this time.
Yeah, straight from Yuki's dictionary.
Well, I've got thoughts as well.
Let's hear it.
It's not even for the respect for the people watching. It's, man, motherfuckers get invited by Formula One. They get everything paid for. They get their scene in what is, you know, regarded as the new hot sport kind of worldwide now. And everyone wants to be seen in an F1 race, right? And it is actually written in the rules that if you're on the grid, if you're invited by F1, which she was, you need to talk. There's none of this fucking bullshit of, oh no, I'm too good for you. And I'll tell you one thing. You're not too good for F1. F1 is too good for you. If you Ooh. Don't respect the sport, get the fuck out of here. We don't want to see you on the grid.
There's a clip. I like that. You know, there's...
Damn.
Mic drop. We're just going to end the episode there. Well, you know, it's funny. I was reading some articles about this this morning, and there's one individual in particular who used to be a Haas PR rep. Her name is Devin Altieri, and I'm using her name because I fully disagree with this approach. And if you are on the grid, you need to be aware that you're going to be subject to an interview, especially if you're a celebrity. And she said, at this point, Martin Brundle is just doing it to manufacture the moment for the controversy of it all. You can clearly see the PR rep tell him no and shake his head when he goes up towards Carlo Delevingne. He had an out and he chose not to take it to make a statement. Carlo Delevingne is on the grid for one race. This is like Martin Brundle has been doing this for how many years? Since 1997?
Also, so, Martin Brundle is a legend. He is... It's Murray absurd. Walker would be proud to call him his successor. And if Haas PR ever did anything properly, just let me know about that because I'm not going to listen to anyone from that team's PR.
She's no longer at Haas, but I just... Okay. She's formerly of Haas. I cannot get behind that. I agree with you. Martin Brundle is a legend in the sport. If you don't know that, what the fuck are you doing on the grid in the first place? Stop.
Yeah. Don't fuck with Martin Brundle and don't fuck with F1.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. You heard us.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. We got to save the best for last. Yeah.
Therapy over.
Like we need to do another session off air. But yeah, man, we've got Hungary coming up. Not this coming weekend, but next weekend. Very excited to see what McLaren can bring to the table. I'm excited for what's happening in the midfield. It is truly showing what these regulations, I think, were meant to do.
Yeah, we see a convergence. The only thing is that we're not seeing anyone take it to the top, but who knows? That might come the second part of the season or next year. Just a quick note on the stand championship, please, if I may.
Ooh, yeah, why don't you go ahead? You had a nice weekend.
Yeah, I did. I think I also benefited from you taking some big risks, I did. At the front there. You did go for Max on pole, so you got those 5 points. And I got Max on pole, Max winning, and Lewis P3. So I was really rooting for Lando those last few laps. And so the score is now 160 to 136. And I double-checked the points to make sure I didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah, don't no cheating here. No cheating.
This time, so you have a nice 24-point lead.
Hell yeah. It's shrinking, though. Where we were at?
It was over 40 at one point, for sure. Yeah.
But well done. Well done, my friend. And we've got, Hungary coming up. In the meantime, make sure to give us a follow on Instagram at the Grandstand F1 or... Give us a follow anywhere podcasts are listened to, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it, we're there. And for P Money, this is F. Knowles. We'll see you on the next one.